Blog Talk Radio.
Point is up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I am your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and we got a good one again today. It's a busy Saturday. Doesn't it always feel like when football season comes back around, things are busy? I don't know if it's because school's back in session or vacation time is over. Whatever it is, it's always busy when it's kickoff time. I guess you got all kinds of tailgating to prepare for and people coming over to watch the game. And I don't know what it is, all the traditions, all the pageantry. It's college football on Saturday. It's high school football on Friday night. College football on Saturday. And the NFL, the National Football League, not for long, on Sunday. And, of course, everything caps off Monday night doubleheader. This Monday night, John Gruden back on the sideline. That ought to be good. Don't miss that. Got a good show today, though. We're gonna do a new segment, Redskin Roundup. And basically, what we're gonna do is give you the keys to that game, and you can check those and take them to the bank, whether or not the Redskins win or lose versus the Arizona Cardinals. Kickoff 4:25 tomorrow in the desert. In the second half of the show today. Fit with Joy back, lengthy absence, but back, and this time we will find her in the sweet city of New York City at the U.S. Open, and we're going to talk a little U.S. Open, and then we're going to talk a little Washington Mystics as they try and bring another title back to the nation's capital. I know the Washington Caps got one, and so hopefully the Mystics can do the same. So, wouldn't be an Extra Points Radio Show if we didn't do our pay attention topic. And before we get into that, I want to thank our guest last week, Dave Owen, who is a former co-host of this show. Now he is running his own business, which is Visionary Media Productions. And Dave came on last week, did a great job. So if you need some video, don't hesitate to reach out to Dave. But let's get into our pay attention topic. And got an interesting one today. Fox Sports Detroit, they actually suspended two of their employees who actually do the play-by-play and color commentary, Tigers, Mario Ampiba and Rod Allen. For the rest of the season, they've been suspended after they got into a physical altercation. I like to call those a fight in the booth prior to Tuesday night's game. So now let me get this straight. Baseball games during the week are usually around 7. So you figure, I don't know, 6 o'clock? If you're the broadcast guy, you're going over your scripts, looking at the notes, maybe grab a dog or something, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, these guys break into a fist fight in the booth before the Detroit Tigers game. That's right. Let's set this picture now. You've got the play-by-play guy. And you've got the color commentary guy. They've been doing games together for 17 years. And they got into a fight before the game. So luckily, they had two people there that could get them through the game and finish out the rest of the season. But, man, what is going on with the Tigers? What's going on with Detroit? I honestly expect that with the Yankees. I really do. I don't expect that Detroit. I don't expect a play-by-play guy and a color analyst to get in a fight, but right before the game. But anyway, it is what it is. Next pay attention topic. The Marjorie Stoneman Douglas football team won their first game last night since the February 14th shooting. They beat South Broward 23-16. Now, if you remember, first of all, that was the deadliest high school shooting in United States history, right? It happened on Valentine's Day last year. Sad, sad, tragic, terrible story. If you remember, the athletic director and one of the assistant coaches, Coach Aaron Feist, were both shot and killed during that melee. And so the team, who's currently 2-0, painted 17 people were killed during that mass shooting. And so in honor of the 17, the kids, the students, painted the number 7 on the 50-yard line in tribute to those who had fallen. And I thought they also put stickers on their helmets with the number 17. And then I thought it was kind of, you know, this is why I believe in a higher power. Now, they won the game 23-6, and that's a 17-point victory. So really neat story right there that that school's been through, you know, all kinds of tragedy, and I think those kids are doing a great job. And so it was great to see them not only get a win, but to win it by 17 points at home is a pretty big deal. So, hey, they're 2-0. Yeah, keep your eye on them. Keep your eye on them. Maybe they could do something really special this year. You know, I know that the whole school is behind that football team. So, great job. It just shows, again, what athletics and sports can do to bring people together, bring a community together, and, I mean, quite honestly, it's brought nations together. So, good stuff from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School football team. Good stuff. Good story. Next topic. Prime time. Remember when you used to run the ESPN at like 7 p.m. on Sunday because you couldn't wait for Chris Berman and those highlights of Neon Deion Sanders? It didn't matter whether he was playing for the Cowboys or the Falcons or the 49ers. And, well, he didn't do much with the Ravens, and he took the Redskins' money. But, man, this guy, prime time. Well, he's got two sons. And currently Deion's the offensive coordinator at Trinity Christian High School down in Florida. And his two sons, Shiloh and Shanor, both play. They both wear his number, no less, 21 from his NFL days, and 2, which is retired at Florida State University. So here's the thing. One's a quarterback and one's a wide receiver. The wide receiver, Schnorr, returned a kick last night. Returned the kick. I'm sorry, Shiloh. I get him confused. Shiloh returned a kick. And, of course, on his way into the end zone, what did he do? He high-stepped. He started high-stepping at, like, the 10-yard line and high-stepped himself all the way into the end zone for a Trinity Christian touchdown, and Trinity won the game and that. But it was funny watching Deion. I was looking at the highlights, and Deion is, you know, he's kind of saying to the kid, like, hey, you know, cost us a penalty, you know, you can't do that, this, that, and the other. And Sanor was like, but Dad, I was emulating you. I've been watching your videos. And so Deion said, yeah, son, don't do what I did, first of all. And second of all, I think the bigger lesson that Deion provided for his son was, I did that when I was in the pros, right? I was getting paid. That was all marketing. That is a business. But in high school, that's where you kind of learn and grow, right? There is no room in high school athletics for showboating. Now, when you get to the league, to the NFL, and keep in mind, Sonora's dad, a Hall of Famer, arguably the greatest defensive back, at least at the corner position, cover corner, ever to play the game, one of the best punt returners ever. Definitely his number 2 is already retired by Florida State University. You can do that, right? And also remember, like Deion said, it was show business. It's entertainment. So by Deion doing that with the Cowboys and the Falcons and the 49ers, when he got older in age, he was able now to get $35 million from the Redskins, and he hadn't done anything. So the Redskins were still enamored with his highlights. So I thought it was a good lesson from dad to son. I'm going to tell you, the quarterback, Shiloh, really good left-handed kid. Both of Deion's kids can play. I didn't have to see a lot of highlights to see. They can play. Are they D1? Nah, I don't know about that yet. I know they're very fast. You got to get some weight on them, but Deion was small. So we'll see, but really, really good story out of there. So we talked about a play-by-play and a color commentator getting in a fight in the booth. We've talked about that Stoneman Douglas High School winning their first game. That's great stuff. Winning by 17, which is the number of bodies that were left fallen during that tragic mass murder. We talked about a dad, Deion Sanders, giving a great, great message to his son. So speaking of a dad and a son, that is our pay attention topic for this week. So everyone knows that I am a diehard Washington Redskins fan, right? I love the Skins. I bleed burgundy and gold. My team this year, though, is the 49ers. But I'm going to root for the home team as always. You just can't help it. But here's the thing. Oh, by the way, the 49ers got Alfred Morris. So they got Lil Shanny and Alfred Morris. So they're like Redskins number two or Redskins B or whatever you want to call it. But here's the thing. I read an article this week, actually yesterday, by a guy named Rudy Gerdston. And Rudy did a perspective article for the Washington Post around loving the Redskins. And, we've had segments where we've talked about fan devotion and, you know, how fans just are rabid for their team and players and that. And we've had Fit with Joy to come in and do basically a three-part series on that. And it's an interesting topic. But the article that was written by Rudy Gerdston was about loving the Redskins but not loving Adrian Peterson. I want you to listen to this one real closely because, again, it's just perspective. I'm not judging. I'm not giving an opinion one way or the other. I'm just basically regurgitating the article. Adrian Peterson, AP for those that like to call him that, AD, which means all day, because he does like to carry the ball 30 or 40 times. This guy's a future Hall of Famer. He is. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame. He's going to get a yellow jacket. He's a former MVP in this league, and it wasn't that long ago. And, you know, when Darius Geis went down, he blew his knee out, which is tragic to blow your knee out your rookie season during training camp. The Skins needed a running back. And so they got this future Hall of Famer. They got this former MVP, and they got him for cheap. Or did they? See, what the article talks about is the Adrian Peterson that we don't talk about anymore. The Adrian Peterson that was indicted on a felony child abuse charge and pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor for reckless assault. Adrian Peterson, he beat his child with a tree branch. His child was 4 years old. Now, when you look at the actual indictment, and it's online, you can read it. It's gruesome. The places where the child had encrusted blood, you don't hit people there. You just don't do it. And that's what happened. Now, it doesn't stop there. He has another child, also 4 years old, who still has a scar on his over his right eye from a punch from Adrian Peterson. The child was 4 years old in a car seat, locked in a car seat. First of all, he can't defend himself if he wasn't in a car seat, not against Adrian Peterson. And then another child who was beat to death by a boyfriend of the child's mother. Now, that has nothing to do with Adrian Peterson. The only connection is it was his child. And, you know, the mother of his child, I guess, moved on and got up with the wrong person, and it beat the child to death. That's a tough track record. But Adrian Peterson shrugged it off. If you look in Sports Illustrated recently, and they were talking about the comeback and how this could be a redemption year. AP, or AD, he said there's nothing really to redeem. I've served my 6-game suspension. There's nothing to redeem. Now, I got to tell you, Darius Geis was late for a pre-draft meeting. He was late. Okay, Darius Geis is late for a meeting. But AP beat his kids. And, oh, by the way, read the indictment. He stuffed leaves in the kids' mouth so they wouldn't scream. So here's the thing, and this is what Rudy Gersten's point was in that article in the Washington Post. How quickly we forget. How quickly we're so ready to root. We're so ready. And you watch. We're going to root for him, myself included. Pitifully so, but I got to admit it, because he's going to help the Redskins win. And that's fandom. And that's not good. And that's not cheap. At what cost are the Redskins willing to win tomorrow? I think they're going to hand the ball to Adrian Peterson 30 times to try and win the game. And how quickly all of us will forget the scars left on those kids. It's not cool. But I also want to say this. There's something about forgiveness, and there's something about second chances. Everybody gets them. I'd appreciate it if Adrian Peterson had just said that. Hey, it's my second chance. Please forgive me and move forward. Maybe that's what he'll do tomorrow, and he'll do it on the field by being a good mentor to Darius Geis, who's going through heck right now because he can't play. He can't play. He's not making any money. He's nobody right now. So let's see what happens tomorrow at 4:25. Hey, before we take a quick break, shout out to Shaquem Griffin. You want to talk about a good story, and this is not a pay attention topic. But just FYI, for those of you that don't know Shaquem, University of Central Florida, the one-arm bandit. That's right, the guy plays the game, football, with one arm. He's starting tomorrow for the Seattle Seahawks. That's right, he's starting. Now, granted, it's because the guy in front of him is injured. I get that. But the guy's starting, and he's got one arm. You can do anything you want to do if you put your mind to it. So, Shaquem, kudos to you, man. The first time I saw you, I was like, that guy's a NFL guy. He didn't get invited to the Senior Bowl, got invited to the Senior Bowl, went down there and made a big splash. So, hey, great pay attention topic segment today. I hope you all enjoyed it. When we get back, I'm going to do the Redskins roundup, and I'm going to tell you how the Redskins win the game or don't win the game. Points Radio Show. www.extrapointsllc.com, where you can get the Extra Points book, Extra Points, The Life of My Story, on sale now. Get that book, man. It's a great, great book. It's a great story. The author really, really did a good job. I don't know who that is. I'm teasing. It's my book. It's my book, daggone it. and it's good stuff. So here we go. Redskins, how do they win or lose this game? Easy. Let's start with injuries, first of all. Mo Harris is out. Now, people would think, who cares? Mo Harris is out. But Mo Harris is the fourth receiver on this team. Remember, Brian Quick was, and he got cut. He did not make the team. So guess who's the next man up for Mo Harris? Trey Quinn. Mr. Irrelevant is going to get some playing time tomorrow. I believe he's going to punt return, and I also believe that he's going to be the fourth receiver. So kudos to Trey Quinn. Not only did he make this team, but he's going to get some playing time in the first game. That's huge. Now, here's some other things. These guys aren't injured, but they got to stay healthy. I'm going to keep saying, I'll probably say it every week. Jordan Reed, got to stay healthy. So get Jordan in there. Let him get his catches. But, hey, let's not maybe even don't put him in on running plays. I don't know. Maybe make him a situational player. But he can't get hurt, okay? And neither can Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson, they cut Capri Bibbs. They really don't have a third down back. They're going to go with Chris Thompson like they did last year, not have a backup for him. So we got to be prepared for that. Those two guys cannot get injured. So here's what I'm telling you right now. Look for, you got two guys, explosive, probably the two most explosive guys on the offense. Adrian Peterson is not explosive anymore, right? He's good. He's steady. He's an NFL pro, but he's not explosive. Jordan Reed, explosive. Chris Thompson, explosive. That's what has to happen. Here's the other thing, point number two. AP's got to run the ball. And they got to give it to him. So this isn't about the offensive line. I think they'll do their job. I think Trent Williams will be fine. This isn't about Adrian Peterson. I think Adrian Peterson is a pro's pro. He's a Hall of Famer. He's going to get her done. It's really about Jake Gruden, and are you going to call running plays? For you see, the Redskins tend to come away from the run game. And so you just got to look at the number of carries and take it to the bank. If the Redskins get 100 yards, or at least have 25 rushes, I think they win the game. If they don't, they're not only losing, but they've lost it. So they gotta run the football. And AP's got to run it on first and second. Okay, this is no secret, people. AP run on first and second. Throw it to Chris Thompson or Jordan Reed on third. Now, oh, by the way, if I know that, the Cardinals know that. So this isn't rocket science. All right, point three. They got to stop David Johnson, the Cardinals running back. Now, back in 2016, of course, he got injured in 2017. Back in 2016, though, David Johnson ran off a total of 175 yards, two touchdowns against the Redskins. This guy's legit. This guy's an MVP caliber talent. You'll know in the first quarter whether or not they're going to win the game. Because if David Johnson's running all around and catching screens, popping off 35 and 40 yards a screen, game's over. It's over. So they've got to stop David Johnson. All right, now he's going to be itching because he's been injured. He's been out for a year. So he's going to be itching and ready to go. Next point. Preseason. It's over with. It's over. So I'm talking to you, Jamison Crowder, who hardly played, Alex Smith, who hardly played, Jordan Reed, Chris Thompson, guys that hardly played, Ryan Kerrigan, Josh Norman, guys that hardly played, Trent Williams. It's a different gear up here. That's what Coach Gibbs used to say. It's a different gear up here. Up here is the National Football League, and if you don't shift gears, you won't be here long. Not for long. The Redskins can knock them out flat. This team's going to come out jacked up. They got a new coach. And whenever there's a new coach, guys are on edge. So let me tell you right now, you got to come out ready to go. All right, preseason's over. Next point. Sam Bradford's their quarterback. Sack him. Sack him. And you know who the guy that sacks him a lot? It's Preston Smith coming off the edge. In three games, Preston Smith sacked Sam Bradford six times. The guy's prone to injury, though. So here's the thing. Who's his backup? Josh Rosen. Rookie, highly regarded. Don't put Sam Bradford out of the game and let this rookie come in and beat you. So I'm saying two things. I'm saying get the pressure on the quarterback. But I'd rather Sam Bradford stay in the game. Does anybody remember when Sam Bradford signed a $50 million contract with the Rams? That was the last of the – that was before the rookie contract. $50 million. He's still playing football. Several collarbones broken. Too many concussions to count. He's still playing. Man. So, hey. So that's the key. I will tell you in the prediction segment later on how I think or who I think will win the football game. But let me just go over those again. Injuries, you got Mr. Irrelevant's going to get playing time, and then you got your two most explosive guys, Reed and Thompson, can't get hurt. Step one, Adrian Peterson runs the ball first and second down. Keep giving it to him, Jay. Don't come away from giving it to Adrian Peterson. Thing three, you got to stop their running back, David Johnson, MVP guy. He almost got 200 yards of total offense against you last time he saw you. Got to stop that. Preseason's over, man. You've been chilling. You've been chilling. You got to shift gears. And then get to Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford is the most overrated quarterback. I like him. Don't get me wrong. And Oklahoma, great, Boomer Sooner. But he's done nothing in the NFL. He's made more money. You know who he is? He's Ricky Fowler. You know who Ricky Fowler is? Ricky Fowler's a golfer. He wears orange Puma stuff. He never wins. But he makes as much money as, like, the guys that are winning, except Tiger Woods. So that's the keys to winning the football game. Those are the keys. Now, remember that I have said, I predicted that the Skins are 5-11. This was one of the games that, you know, it's on the road. Just for the record, Jay Gruden is 0-4 in opening games. Joe Gibbs, he never lost opening games. And here's the thing. You've got basically a year to prepare. It's really not a year, but you definitely got a month to prepare for a team. And it's hard because preseason teams don't show anything. You really don't even know who's going to be on the roster. So it is tough. So you really don't have that much time, and that's why you're going to see a lot of upsets tomorrow. So, but Jay Gruden's got to come off the schneid when it comes to winning those openers. He's got to be able to turn that around. So, you know, we'll see if he's able to do that. But I think this Skins team, I like the roster. I saw the cuts. I went over them. I still am waiting for the Alabama guys to be dominant. I think that comes next year. The linebacking crew, Zach Brown, is great in the middle. And the guys, the rush ends, Kerrigan and Preston Smith, very good. And the secondary is what I'm worried about. To me, they have no corners. Those of you that like Josh Norman, okay. Tell me the last time he got an interception. Terrible tackler. And they really don't have anyone on the other side. So I just can't get with it. On the offensive side of the ball, Alex Smith, captain checkdown. So he's going to have to show me. Now, you know, statistically, he threw the ball deep more than anybody last year, statistically. But he's captain checkdown. Running back, I think we're solid. AP, Chris Thompson, we're fine. And receiver, I'm concerned. I think we've downgraded, you know. I remember we had, you know, DeSean Jackson and guys that were threatening. We really don't have anyone who's threatening right now. I think this is going to be a make-or-break year for Josh Dotson. He's got to catch some balls. He's got to do some things to stay on this team. So we'll see. Offensive line, solid. If one of them gets hurt, season's over. Season's over. Well, except for Trent Williams. I think Ty Nsekhe is a starter in this league. But the rest of the backups, So can't get hurt. All right, very good. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to have Fit with Joy come in and join us. And she's actually in New York at the U.S. Open. And she's going to talk to us about being a ball person. Now, I don't really pay attention to this because in my own way, I guess I've been a ball person. My daughter Fallon was playing tennis. I used to run and chase the ball. But from what I'm understanding, it's way more to it than that. So we're going to talk about that. And, of course, Serena's got a big final tonight trying to make history. And then we'll shift gears and talk a little WNBA and the Mystics, who get no talk, you know, around the water cooler, you know, at work. No one's talking about the Mystics. I mean, the Nets are losing every game, and that's what people are talking about. Nobody's talking about the Mystics. Why is that? Man, poor Mystics. So, hey, let's do that. Let me grab some water, and we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Hail to the Redskins. Money all day, every day. It makes the world go round. And speaking of money, there's plenty of it in Flushing, New York. It's called it Flushing Meadow. Wonder why they dropped the meadow part. I don't know. But anyway, the U.S. Open is on tap for tonight. ESPN. God, CBS had it for so many years. ESPN. Serena Williams marching for history. And it's going to be a big deal tonight. And we're excited to hear about it. And to tell us a little bit more about it and this whole ball person thing, Fit with Joy segment. Fit with Joy, Joy Henry, are you there?
Hey, Coach. Fit with Joy here. Please bear with me as my location is a little, as you would say, the concrete jungle. There's a roar of constant cars, just noise. It's the ambiance. So if it starts to interfere, you get the atmosphere here.
Well, that's what makes the U.S. Open so wonderful is the ambiance of the concrete jungle. So tell us about now. You've been up there now for weeks with this ball person experience. You know, I thought that I was a ball person once when I used to chase the balls for my daughter. But from what I'm understanding, it's way more to it than just chasing the ball. So tell our listening audience and educate us.
Well, definitely the ball person. That's the first thing. So in a sense, the ball is very important, as in most sports, right? Track and field is a little different, but there are points. So as the extra points, there are points in pretty much every sport. Now, back to the point of it all, with the ball person being just that, they're the ball person. They have to chase the balls. Now, it's just not about chasing the balls, okay? There's a coordination, and that coordination is organized according to their formations to make sure that the match runs smoothly. You are supposed to be statuesque, in a sense. So you shouldn't be seen. You should be an accessory to help the player. They're your priority. So you're passing the balls as they're needing them for the serve. You're also, in a sense, not passing as it used to be done years ago with the U.S. Open. They're trying to make it, and a lot of people are a little unhappy about it, robotic, and fit in line with the other slams, where we used to throw. The backs, being the people that are on the back level where the logos are, where the line persons are, they used to throw it from that side to the other side. This time, they're rolling it, literally physically as if it's a bowling ball. And it has to be really seamless so that the game doesn't have any pause.
So now let me ask you this, because I'm just monitoring some of the action during the week and last week even. I mean, it's been really, really hot, hazy, hot, and humid. How does the elements play a factor in being a ball person?
Oh, most definitely. Coach, you said it best. It is just that. You have to come understanding here, again, as we talk about the atmosphere, the ambiance, that it's quintessential of the hard court. It's just the concrete jungle, as I reiterate. And so we have so many people here, different walks of life. And Queens specifically is known as the melting pot. If you look at the sign when you come in, it talks about welcoming the world. And so compare it to the other slam of Australia down under, it's blazing, but it's a different kind of heat here. It's the humidity. It's the subway kicking up with all the different trains and the sewage and the rats. I'm sorry. It's really, really just that intense. And so they put heat advisory because it's not fit. It wasn't something that has ever been done. It was historic. They just suspended play to make sure the players were okay.
Wow. Now, you know, I'm thinking about, wow, that you painted a wonderful picture for us. If you've been to the U.S. Open, and fortunately I have been, it is exactly the way you described it. Now, let me ask you this, because there seems to be a lot of money floating around. When I look at this thing, and I'm looking at it from afar, I wasn't able to get up this year, but this looks like something for, you know, I think about the Williams sisters straight out of Compton. I mean, I'm not sure, but I didn't see anyone from Compton, California in the stands. You know, you're talking about the food is so good, and tell me about the socioeconomics of this whole thing, because this looks like something really for not the everyday person. This seems more like a vacation destination spot. Tell me, am I off? Am I off? Because I'm not there. So am I off a little bit on that?
That's why you're the coach and you call the shot. You see it as it plays out, and you can put schemes together and see exactly what is happening. There is literally a certain level, a caliber, there's a pedestal out there that people can acquire and be able to live life lavishly. No pun intended. They have drinks called a honey deuce, and they have that play on words with the actual deuce in the points on tennis. $17 for Grey Goose mixed with some kind of melon liqueur. And these people are drinking it up. I've seen somebody walk around because it gives you a commemorative plastic cup with all the different names of those who've won in past years. They give that to you. So it's like, are you paying for the actual beverage, the drink, or are you paying for the cup or a combination of both? I've seen people walk around, and I kid you not, stacked up, 10 of them. $17.
Wow.
Guzzling it all down. I mean, that's one thing. Then you have the uniforms that the ball people wear, and that is Polo. It's the official sponsor. And that is just that, where you as a ball person are not just a ball person, rolling the balls, making sure the match runs smoothly, attending to the player, but you're also an ambassador. You are a walking billboard. So when people see your uniform, they go, oh, I want that. And lo and behold, right in front center is the Polo store where you can purchase our entire gear from head to toe, from the visor or the hat, whichever one you choose, to the Polo, to the actual skirt or shorts, to the socks and the sneakers. They actually have slides in there that we should have gotten because these shoes are not fit for us in a sense. They're good for the lines person, but the shoes to run in them, their shoes, they're not proved, I believe.
Well, now, wow, I had no idea that, wow, a Polo shop right in the on the ground.
But,
that's
but
amazing.
Let me give you another point, though. Let me back up and review that one more time, which you talked about the different people and that the Compton aspect with Serena. And then now we have Osaka. Osaka is Japanese in a sense, but partly Haitian. So that's another demographic. So this semifinal is pretty big in terms of what the diversity brings into question. So the people in the stands that are watching, they're trying to get more of that in there. So it's like the ability to afford it with socioeconomics, class, race, gender. There's a whole bunch of different factors.
Well, last time I checked, the tickets, I mean, this is a hot ticket tonight. I mean, Serena could make history in this match. I mean, any idea what the ticket is going for to get in? Because once again, it just feels like, you know, you may be able to get a Nats game for $9 or shoot, you could go to a Bowie Bay Sox game. You know, you could probably get a football game, you know, I don't know, $100 for Redskins game. I don't know. I mean, they're down right now. But I guess what I'm getting at is this ticket, this ticket is like a paycheck for some people. You know, am I off on that? I mean, can I show up and kind of talk to a scalper maybe and get in there? Or will I have to not pay my rent to do it? What's the deal on that?
This event is so classy, Coach, where I have been astounded. This is New York City, and I haven't seen a scalper within the vicinity. I believe it's illegal, but we still, in a sense, do things that are illegal here. So when I don't see that anywhere, not even at a train station, I mean, we have Mets Park, Mets City Field across the street, and I don't even see them doing it there. I've walked, because they're so close. They're pretty much neighbors, and I've never heard anybody saying tickets, tickets, you know, that whole spiel in that sense. And so it just makes me understand that this is another world. If these people can buy $200 a seat, in a sense, be called the nosebleeds, but they're just happy to be in the place because they're surrounded by celebrities. I mean, you got a whole bunch of different people, Regina King, the Trump impersonator on SNL was there, Baldwin. There's so many different calibers of people. I just named a black woman and an older white man. So it's just about that. But these people have money. They're celebrities. But not just these celebrities. Not just the famous, but the rich are here. I've overheard while I was going up the escalator to Ash, two gentlemen, white men for that matter, talking about their summer houses and then their parents going to and fro on the plane every weekend to this place or that place, and without a care in the world, there's no struggle. And so as I'm struggling myself to get up the escalator to the nosebleed seats, quote-unquote, as a bull person, that is a perk, right? You get to watch the matches.
Sure.
Not just
yeah.
be on
sure.
them, not be in the actual court. And so it's just, it's regal. It's very prestigious in a sense.
Well, I tell you what, that's amazing insight, bird's eye view. Let me do this. Stand with women's sports and women's athletics, and we've talked about this topic many times. So I want to shift gears over to the Washington Mystics. I don't get it. They have won. They had to play a one-game playoff. They won that. They're now in the championship round against the Seattle Storm, I believe it is. And nobody is talking about them. Matter of fact, the only reason to be the other day was the Nats were in a rain delay. Other than that, you had to watch it live streaming. So I guess quick shout out to Monumental Sports. They were, if you have that package, you could get that. But if not, you got to wait for a rain delay from the Nats. So, you know, first of all, give me your thoughts on the Mystics, you know, possibly bringing another championship to D.C. And then last night they laid an egg and got blown out in game one in Seattle. So give me your thoughts on the Mystics piece.
Well, quite frankly, they're just that. They're mystical. It's become one of those things where, as you just said, you need to know about them through a rain delay. And so that tells you a lot. Monumental Sports and Entertainment, the parent company you mentioned before as well, had a team in the arena football, Washington Dollar. And so that wasn't really got as much notoriety as the Washington Caps. However, this team, the Mystics, have been around just as long, if one of the core teams that brought the league into effect in 1996. So we're not just talking about an arena football team that just came about in the district that people don't even know about. Indoor football, that there's another sport. We're talking about basketball, a major generator of revenue. And so when I kind of use that contrast, I'm showing you that the Venn diagram on the left with the differences, but then the commonalities in the middle where they're intertwined, it's not really marrying up properly. And so what I believe is, again, they're not something that people want to see for whatever reason. there's so many different demographics just to roll up in one. And when you talk about the market, you talk about the people who are actually trying to watch it on TV nonetheless, but in person, they don't even have the chance to be at their own home arena. It's sad that they were at George Washington. I didn't even know that they were no longer going to be playing at George Washington Charles E. Smith Center. They're actually at Eagle Bank Arena when they come back from Seattle.
Wow.
How are you going to follow them?
And this is a championship. And this is a championship.
I worked
there.
Yeah,
and this is a championship.
Exactly.
Right, right.
This is the first ever that they possibly could have in their books, and no one said anything about it. And I will tell you again, as I talked about the Valor with the Caps contrast, I actually went out in the area, local D.C. spots, businesses, and gave out, as a marketing representative, different flyers to cheer on the Caps. There's nothing that's been done for the Valor, from what I understand. And quite, like I said, the contrast is that this team, the Mystics, have been around for over 20 years. The Valor are in their second year. There's really no comparison, but in the sense that it's underneath the same parent company, and it shows you about the ability of marketing and what people really want.
Well, I wanted to comment on one of the things you brought up was the Valor. And first of all, here's a team that didn't win any games until their last game of the year. They beat Baltimore in the last game of the year. But because of the way the league is formed, you can win one game in the regular season, still go to the playoffs, win the one playoff game, and then you get to go to the championship, and then they won the championship. So I guess, and this is for another show, but I guess there is a huge dichotomy between what is quote-unquote minor league sports and major league sports, and it's all around socioeconomics. Because I know those Valor tickets, you couldn't give them away. You couldn't give them away. But yet today, on college campuses all over the country, 100,000 people are going to spend $17 for whatever drink whatever the name of the drink is, to scream at their favorite star. So it's just kind of weird how that all works out. But it is what it is. So tell me about Game One. They lost that game. This Sue Bird, I did not know who Sue Bird was until the other day. But she's really, really a good player. Do the Mystics, after getting blown out in Game One, do they have a chance to bring another championship back to D.C.?
Well, and there you have it. You didn't know who Sue Bird was. I know who Sue Bird was. I love these quintessential, the pioneers of women's basketball. When you talk about Cheryl Swoop, talk about Cynthia Cooper, and these particular teams in these major cities that were able to generate a buzz to a certain extent. And now we're here where you don't know Sue Bird was, which is fine in a sense, right? Because that's just kind of like how society is. But she's really what I thought she would be, which is carrying the team, being the veteran, the leader. And so they're at home, and she's got to know that opportunity of a lifetime. Seattle doesn't have a basketball team. They had the Supersonics, right? And now they want a team back. And so when I talk about the gender gap, you see where people are screaming tooth and nail about what happened to the Supersonics. You sent them to Oklahoma, and now they're the Thunder. We still want a team back, but they're not, in a sense, getting behind their own team, which is the Seattle Storm. And that's the same thing with the Washington. Yeah, Seattle Storm. Excuse me if I slurred my words and it didn't sound like that. But
No. I was just
Yeah. And so when you look at the same thing with the other competitor in their market, in their city, which is major, they have the Washington Wizards. The Washington Wizards could barely make it out of the first round. They made it to the second round, which is the highest in a while. And you see the money that's been buzzed, the money that's been generated, all those different things. So I think what's happening, Ella Deladon, she's been carrying the Mystics. She's been a great asset. She's been able to get them to where they are. But she has her own struggles. She has her own illnesses and injuries. And I think the team needs to try not to become one where the LeBron James kind of thing happens and he's doing everything. They need to step up. They need to be able to be better players in this bigger moment.
Well, I know that Ted Leonsis chartered the team plane out for the Caps to go out to have the whole staff go out to Las Vegas. Rumor is he gave out 10 Metro cards to get to the Mystics game. I'm not sure about that. Ba-dum-bum. But anyway.
That was really good because you didn't see my blood boil. I was like, I want to go to Seattle.
I know. We got a comedian listening, so that was for him. But hey, a great insight again on the Mystics. And what I'd like to do is we always had this 2-minute warning segment, and you know, it's usually I never script it. I just say whatever comes from my heart, through my head, and out my mouth, and I love doing them. But you've had so many different experiences, not just over the last 3 weeks, but in 2018. I mean, you've been all over the place and you've experienced a lot. And so I wanted to give you an opportunity. The one rule with 2-minute warnings is it's really not 2 minutes. I think I've only ever done one that was 2 minutes. It's more like 45 seconds, so I will tell you that's a rule. But I'm going to put you on the spot right now. I'm going to have you do the 2-minute warning for the Extra Points Radio show today. What do you think about that?
I love it. Fit with joy. I'm going to give you that tidbit, a 2-minute warning, really 45 seconds or less. So in that...
It's all yours.
Oh, well, here we go. Pretty much just that. Be outfitted. Get out there, not in the sense to fit in. We talk about life and not wanting to take up too much space and being in the right place at the right time and having the opportunity come and meet you and all those different things. But being the right fit might not just be it. You have to go above and beyond. And I like to draw on Serena and the outfit she wore in France and them banning it. And then Nike stepping up and having the quote-unquote logo for her tutu to be worn. The Nike campaign with Colin Kaepernick, with Shaquille Griffin. These people, in a sense, are trailblazers. They don't quite, quote-unquote, in a sense, at that moment before they got their bucks, fit in. And so I say, get outfitted. Get out there. Fit, in a sense, to your own demographic and what you think it should be. And that's your Fit with Joy tidbit. Outfitted.
There we go. There we go. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I absolutely love it. It's always good to do those 2-minute warnings. I think our audience gets a lot out of them, and this week was no different. So, hey, now we're going to move over to our prediction. And last week we were 2-1, so I did predict that Trey Quinn would make the Washington Redskins roster, and he did. And he's going to play tomorrow because Mo Harris is out with an injury. He's the next man up. He's going to be the Skins' fourth receiver, and I believe he's going to be the punt returner. So good eye, Coach Howard, on talent right there. The next thing I said was that Notre Dame would beat Michigan. And old khaki pants came out there with his khakis on. It looked like a new pair of khaki pants, but at the end of the day, new pair of old, they lost. So Michigan already, the Boo Birds are calling for Jim Harbaugh's head, as predicted on this show weeks ago. So they're already calling for him. He needs a win in the worst way. This week, Notre Dame, you know, if they keep winning, they're going to be in the playoff, college football playoff. So we did pick that one correctly. We did not, however, pick correctly. I picked the University of Pittsburgh to win their home opener over the University of Albany, but I said it would be by 3 points or less, and the Panthers beat them by more than 3 points. So we missed that one, but I'm glad the Panthers won, and it's a perfect segue to our predictions for this week. So let's start in Pittsburgh. Big, big game today. Huge. This rivalry is going to go away for a little while, but it's going to be electric tonight at Heinz Field, 8 o'clock, ABC. The University of Pittsburgh Panthers take their 9 national championships and go against the daunted Penn State Nittany Lions. So, I'm picking, and it's hard for me to do, but I got to tell you, Penn State has more talent than Pittsburgh right now, and I like good football. I also think that they have a better coach in James Franklin. So I think that the Panthers come up short this year just because Penn State's out-recruited them, And I think tonight they outcoach them, Penn State. What say you?
Well, as a fellow Nittany Lion, I'm very biased, and I was not happy to see that performance with the Appalachian State. We did win, but it caused our ratings to go down. We can't lose to the Panthers. The ultimate cat, the fitted cat in a sense, was the Nittany Lion. You've never seen it before. You've never seen it anywhere else because there's a Mount Nittany Lion at State College. I'm going to go with them. They're going to roar. We are going to get after it. So sorry about that. You guys are going to fail. Fail to Pitt. Go Penn State.
We'll see. The next one, I've got the Redskins tomorrow. So in the show, I laid out my keys to the game and laid it out for everybody. But I think when it all comes down to it, when it's all said and done, the stat that leaps out to me the most is Jay Gruden hasn't won an opener yet. I predicted that Jay Gruden would be fired. To me, he should have never been hired. So I'm not picking the Redskins. I'm going to go with Arizona. My favorite player plays for Arizona, and that's Larry Fitzgerald. Of course, a Hall of Famer at the University of Pittsburgh. He'll be a Hall of Famer in the NFL. He'll be the difference in the game as he will catch a touchdown over Josh Norman and win the football game, or at least put it out of reach. I got the Cardinals. What say you?
Oh, yeah, the Cardinals. I mean, sorry. You know, Redskins, they're here, but they're also going to fail. That whole hail to Redskins, Pittsburgh, it's just go fail with them as well. Adrian Peterson, he didn't do so well there. He's gonna show him and resurrect his talent. So going with the Cardinals to fly over them.
Yeah, many people forget that Adrian Peterson did have a handful of games with the Cardinals last season and did not do very well. So I know he'll have something to prove tomorrow evening. And then the last game, going back to a place that I coached just last season, Bishop Ireton Cardinals won their first game last year, or this year. They won their first game. They did not win any games last year and only two the year before. They are at home today. With their new coach, Chip Armstrong. They are at home today against the St. James School. I got to tell you, never heard of the St. James School. Don't even know where it is. I'm assuming it's in Virginia somewhere. But I got Bishop Ireton winning this thing again. I know my old quarterback, Jack, is more in a running mode than passing. So I'm going to go with the other Cardinals, the Bishop Ireton Cardinals, to beat whoever the St. James School is. What say you?
I have no idea who St. James is, or whatever, but I'm just going to go with them because my roots are, my parents are from Montego Bay, St. James, so how about I go that way? Go St. James. I mean, I think last week's win was a fluke, so they're gonna beat them.
There you go. It's crazy the way you pick games sometimes. I tell you, all of us pick them differently. Some people say, hey, I like that helmet, so who knows. But, hey, listen, great show today. We want to thank Fit with Joy, Joy Henry, for coming in and sharing some real insight. And, Joy, where can we find you? Where can we get more info about you and that sort of thing?
You can see me running around, hopefully, maybe holding up a flag on the U.S. Open TV after the women's finals today, or if you're looking to reach me afterward and see what I'm up and about with, go to my Twitter at Joy Hilarity, HILARITY, and just get me a DM if you like to talk.
There we go. And as always, www.extrapointsllc.com at extrapointsllc. Hey, it's been a great show. We look forward to doing it again next week. And as always, the extra point is up.
And it is fittingly, openly good.